Get ready. It's time. Christina, Catherine, Lisa, Amy, and Lauren. Welcome to the Cimarelli Podcast.
Hey, I'm Christina.
I'm Catherine.
I'm Amy.
I'm Lauren.
And we're Cimarelli.
Welcome back to
the Cimarelli Podcast. Hey, guys. Woohoo. Welcome back. This is episode 172. As per my sources that said I need to look it up myself. That source, not that source.
I'm the source. That one.
It's Christina, in case you're wondering.
So Lisa is not here today. She's supporting her husband through his cancer treatments. Please keep their family in your prayers.
And today we're gonna be giving some, shall we say, life advice, maybe a pep talk, maybe a roast. Who really knows what this will turn into? Probably like a lot of sappy thoughts. And today we're talking about what we wish we knew when we were younger. So hopefully if you're younger, because apparently that means we're old now. Just what? Kidding.
No, it doesn't.
I'm kidding. I think I'm the oldest person alive. I think really not.
When I was younger, I would have thought this is an old age.
Yeah.
31, you know.
So,
but I still got a lot of life.
This is just us reflecting, you know, taking some time to think of what we wish we knew. And even if you're not our age, you're older than us, younger than us, maybe you'll pick up some lessons along the way.
It was interesting looking back and being like, what do I wish? And the things that I wrote down. So I'm curious to see what everyone wrote down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you said a roast, I was like, I don't even remotely think of that. I wonder if anyone else roasted. I want to know what everyone else said.
Roasted who?
Well, like, she's saying you can give yourself roasting advice.
I don't know.
Oh, mine roasts a couple things in it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm curious to hear that.
Because I'm mad that I didn't know it. So there was a little roasting. All right. So guys, that's our main topic of the day. But we always start our podcast with
coughing.
With our highs and lows of the week.
Yes.
So, what's your guys' highs and lows of the week?
All right, I can do mine quick. My low is the sweltering heat.
I love it.
It's like 90 degrees with a lot of humidity, and I think it just feels like you walk outside and
you know what? Whenever I'm sick and it's this hot, which I'm not, I go and I lay outside, and it's like giving yourself a fever, so you sweat it all out.
That's great, Amy.
Interesting. Wow. And it honestly makes me feel 10 times better.
Yeah, I mean, I love summer, and I've actually really been enjoying this summer after the last couple summers were not great for me, like having mono, being pregnant, whatever. This summer's been really fun.
Yay!
But I found myself, because of the freaking weather, dreaming of fall. I was like, oh, I can't wait till it's 70 degrees, pumpkins. But I got to live in the moment.
Oh, I am excited for
now. I think my high is that my son Dominic is doing this thing recently where he goes, oh, wow. And we're at the library. He loves books. And he picked up this book and he was like, oh, wow. He's like, oh, wow, picture. Oh, wow. And he just says it all the time and it's so cute.
Wait,
oh, wow.
Can you get a vid?
I tried to get a vid and then he wouldn't say it again. So I'll try. Yeah, he does it all the time.
If you see him going to a
book. I have to catch it in the moment though. Oh, wow.
Become his paparazzi. So I got to see it. I got to hear.
It's so cute.
My high is that all the outlets were broken in my bathroom.
That was a high for me because my
outlets. And then they got fixed. And
wow. It was a low turn time.
Wow.
That was good.
I mean, I feel that because mine also got fixed and it was really nice.
Okay.
My low was that, started like eating vegetables. And I was annoyed because then I was like hungry so quick. Mm-hmm. Like, how is that?
Maybe you're probably not eating enough protein.
I ate protein too.
And fat?
Yeah.
And fiber? Oh, I guess the vegetables are fiber. Carbs?
But like more vegetables. Really
maybe you just needed a bigger portion.
I think so. Because I'm like, oh, this is so much. But then you realize like vegetables, it's not.
Yeah, if
but
you're
it
hungry
was disappointing
again in an hour,
to me. I was like, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I'm hungry. I'm like, I don't want to be hungry.
It's kind of annoying.
All the time. It's depressing.
If you're hungry again in an hour, you didn't get a big enough portion, I don't think. So, but vegetables are not filling. Sorry to break it to you. And fruits.
Well, yeah.
They're just not. They don't do it. They don't fill you up.
I just like don't really eat them. So I was like,
yeah, they're a great little like, I think of like a Christmas tree ornament. They're like a nice little thing. It's good. But it's not the meat of the meal. It's not like, it's just not filling.
Yeah. So that was my low.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel that. Are you going or am I going?
I can't think of my low. I can think of my high. I thought of a really simple, easy high is that I've been making bagels like every couple days.
Is this the recipe that I sent you?
Wait, like
I don't know if you sent
it
to me.
The Greek yogurt ones?
There's a bunch of Greek yogurt recipes. Okay. I don't know if it's the one you sent. Okay. But it's probably the exact same
thing. That's so cool.
The Greek yogurt bagels, it's just so easy.
Guys, something you should know about Christina, I think her favorite food is Greek yogurt. Am I right? I feel like that's like your number ingredient one to cook food.
With. Not, yeah, not as in like I love eating it.
It's just
I
like
love
your most common.
Making anything
with it. I feel like she's like, I made this new dish. It has Greek yogurt. It's like the thing.
Yeah, I love making anything with it in it.
Your so. White chicken chili with Greek yogurt. Oh, I stole that recipe. It's so good.
There's,
wait,
yeah.
I have an onion.
It can it's a staple.
It can be in so many things. It's I made so many good desserts with it. Dips it really with it.
Is a great. I'm making chicken enchiladas tonight with Greek yogurt.
Yep.
Wait,
I love
can
it.
Can you send me that recipe?
Let me make sure it's good first. I've never made this.
I one. Make okay. pancakes with Greek yogurt, and it's amazing. Ooh,
I want that recipe.
They're so good. Okay, anyway, just forgetting about that. Yeah, I don't know what it is, Greek yogurt. It's just so easy. It's like you get it, you make, I don't know. It's just so for some reason, it's just so easy to make these
how
bagels.
How do you do it?
It's just Greek yogurt, flour, baking powder, salt.
Four
I just
ingredients?
Put it together.
Wait, is this like baked in the oven?
Yes, that's all you do. You put it together, then you add in whatever you want. I made Nick cheddar jalapeno. So I put them in.
Did he love that?
He loved it.
I feel like that's such a Nick thing.
I roll it out and I put it in a little circle and I let it sit for a sec. I throw it in the oven for 20, 25 minutes. Done. The children love them. I can make it any kind they want. Put any seasonings
what kind,
on them.
What's their favorite?
I do everything which Barrett loves and I love.
Oh, I love
it. But
everything.
Tristan doesn't love that. I'm not sure what she likes yet.
Cinnamon
I did like,
raisin? You tried that?
I tried cinnamon and she kind of liked it.
Mm.
But so I'm not sure yet.
Blueberry.
But I'm experimenting.
I love blueberry.
But yeah, it's easy, fun, and I've been making bagel with avocado and egg every morning.
Oh,
and it's a fresh
I
baked
that.
Bagel. So I have that every morning and it's a highlight of my life. Mm. I've moved on from my omelet phase and this is my current phase. So
oh,
we'll
don't
see.
Have phases.
How long this lasts. So anyway, what's my low? I don't even know. Well, yeah, Tristan kept waking up, but then she didn't even need me to comfort her. It was kind of confusing. She just like would wake up and be like, meh, and then just like make a sound. So she wasn't even like, come cover me. She was making a sound. So it kept waking me up for like 3 days in a row. That's my low because I kept being like, I'm not sleeping.
That's tough.
So that's my low, but not that bad. Okay, next.
Okay, let's see.
You? Oh yeah, last one.
My low is that I did a painting yesterday and I hated something about it. I don't know. It just was making me feel very sad. And I don't know why. It sent me to an entire spiral. Don't know why. Well,
you couldn't
I could probably
it out.
Give some, oh. You know, but that's me to myself, you know, but whatever. I meant that's between me and myself, you know.
Perfectionist.
Well, and it just sent me on a whole spiral, which had to do with a lot of other things. I was like, I'm too fragile to have a painting that I hate. So
questioning your worth as a human.
Yes,
being.
Exactly. Okay. So then I redid part of it this morning, and it's so much better. And now I'm like, wow, I'm actually going to like it when it's done.
Redemption.
There we go.
Yeah. So
you
I'm
should
very
call the painting
excited.
Redemption.
Was that a low turn high or just low?
What?
Oh,
like, this
my
is
high
redemption.
Is another art high, is the fact that my brother's wife, aka my sister-in-law.
I was like,
I never
that?
Use sister-in-law or in-law ever.
What?
No.
I do
you
all
are
the time.
My siblings, whatever. I don't know why. It's just how it works in my brain. She and I have been having a really fun time painting together lately.
Aww.
She
what?
Got me into paint pens, acrylic paint pens, and they've taken my paintings from drab to fab.
Ooh,
like shocking it. Like if you can like paint or draw at all, paint pens are so good because you don't have to take like that tiny brush and like do all the stuff that's like really hard to do and takes a long time. You can just like draw it in and it's so good and they're so good and I cry and I order myself some and I'm gonna cry because they're on my table and I'm like, I need to get home and work right now, but I'm here podcasting. But one day I'll be reunited with my painting and finish it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So we're gonna get into telling you guys the things we wish we'd known when we were younger. But first, before we jump in, we got to talk about something. Actually, this is something I do wish I had known when I was younger. I wish I had known about ZocDoc. I'm oof. Dead serious right now. I had a horrifying search for a doctor when I got pregnant with Tristan. And it was just hours and hours of Googling, and I asked so many people. I Googled so much. And if I had known about ZocDoc, this would have changed my life and would have taken so much stress off of me. I'll tell you what ZocDoc is. It is a free app where you can find amazing doctors and book appointments online. So it's this app, you search in there and you can see like what doctors have availability, take your insurance, how soon you can get in, get a doctor's appointment, look at the reviews. This is all the things I was trying to figure out when I was looking for a doctor. So if you're, I mean, we're all in need of doctors at different points in our lives, right? You go on ZocDoc, you can book appointments with thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed doctors and specialists. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat almost any condition you're searching for. These reviews are verified reviews from real patients. What a concept. Wish I could have found that. Would have been great. Would have avoided that first doctor I had. Ooh. The average wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between 24 and 48 hours. That's iconic. It. I mean, the fact that I spent weeks looking for a doctor and it could have been 24 or 48 hours is a regret. Something that I definitely wish I'd known when I was 2 years younger than now. Or A year and a half younger than now. Mm. 2 years younger. When you find the doctor that you want, you can book them immediately. Just a few app taps. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with the receptionist, which I did so many times, only for them to tell me they don't take my insurance. So next time I'm looking for a doctor, I'm telling you right now, I'm absolutely 100% using ZocDoc. Absolutely. And if anyone tells me they're looking for one, I'm telling them. Actually, I did this multiple times. I'm like, hey, I know what you need, ZocDoc. And I literally told them everything I remembered from us talking about them in the podcast. So I actually have already been telling everyone in real life to use this. Go to ZocDoc.com/Cimarelli and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/Cimarelli. ZocDoc.com/Cimarelli. It's a free app. Go find your doctor without all the stress and wasting all your time. ZocDoc.
Amen.
If you want to see all the full episodes of the Cimarelli podcast, you got to join our Patreon. It's only $5 a month. You support us and the Cimarelli podcast, and you get every single full episode. We only post half on YouTube, and then we post half of every other episode. I don't know if that made sense, but hopefully you get it. So if you want every full episode, join the Patreon. It's patreon.com/Cimarelli. It's linked in the description. And you do get to do a Q&A with one of us each Monday on Patreon. We have a patrons-only live stream once a month. Those are so fun. And our goal in those is to tell you one thing that we haven't said publicly every single month. So we give you some kind of insider information every single month on that live stream. And there's like Lisa's old Wacky Wednesday content. We're bringing it back for Throwback Thursday, but it's already on there anyway if you want to dig it up. It's so good. And tons of past episodes and past series, guys. We've made some really good series for Patreon only. So check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Cimarelli. All right, guys, it's time to tell everyone what we wish we had known when we were younger. So we each wrote down a list and we're going to go through it. Let's just each read one and just keep going down the list.
Okay.
I'll start. Okay, first thing I wish I'd known when I was younger. We were saying like 10 years ago-ish, give or take, 10, 15.
Yeah.
I'm not really thinking when I'm like 5, but maybe, I don't know, maybe they apply. I was thinking like 10, 15 years ago. Okay, so number one thing I wish I'd known. If you keep downplaying your personality in front of people, you won't find the people who love your real personality.
That's so true.
That's really good advice.
What an obvious concept, but... Yeah, I wrote, you don't need to stop saying what the rip or any other slightly heavy ordinary thing in front of people.
I just saw an Instagram reel the other day that was like me when I accidentally do personality A around my personality B group friends. They were like, yeah, my dog. Bleh, bleh, bleh. And then they were like, my other friend was looking like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah,
that's so true.
I would say I don't have like, I wasn't doing like a different personality for every person, but it was more like toned down personality and real personality where you say kind of weird stuff.
Okay. The first thing I would have told myself, which maybe this is more applicable as a mom, but I think this really would have helped me when I was younger, is start a cleaning routine and specifically start Fly Lady's cleaning routine. I feel like, because it's not just about cleaning. It's about something that I needed so badly as a young 20s person, which is structure And I just, there are all these, no offense, these routines out there that I would hear of. And there's like another one in particular I can think of. They're just so over the top, confusing. Like they're basically made for people that are already structured. And I'm like, no. I need something that's made for people that are not structured to give them structure.
That makes sense.
And I feel like I didn't used to see the point of routine, and my life was just chaos. And I had a couple of little things I did, but I wish I would have found something as like simple as this and just kind of known, like, if I can just do a little bit every day, my house and my life will be so much more in order. Not just home, but like grocery routine, like bills routine. Like, it would have been really good to get much more organized and do things on a certain day, which I feel like I didn't used to do. So yeah.
First thing I wrote was, he's never gonna love you.
Oh, that's real. Oh my. That's real. God. That's right. That is true.
Which I think what I meant by that really was, like, I would just spend so much time like, oh, well, like, oh, next time I see him, then we'll like move things forward. And like, oh, well, next time, like, we just need like more time and da 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 da. But like, if you're confused, that means it's a no. Because if he actually wants to like be in a relationship with you, you won't be confused about that. So these guys that I would just be like, oh, well, I don't know, maybe this, maybe that, waiting around for 6 months for this man to come around. He's never coming around. Just let it go. Move on.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
That is good.
This is the one that I think that I heard someone else say. So if this is also yours, I think it was Catherine. I'm sorry. Put your bills on auto pay. Because I have a genuine fear of like paying my bills. Like, I'm talking real fear. So any bill that can't be on auto pay, I always pay late.
Yeah.
Because I'm scared. I'm so afraid.
Oh my gosh.
So like it's not good. So if it's on auto pay, I can't even not pay it because it's already gone.
Okay, that's good.
I love it.
I gotta expose myself here and say this was really embarrassing. I mean, I was newly postpartum, so maybe that was my excuse. This was like last year. I forgot. I had one bill that wasn't an auto pay. I forgot to pay it. I got home. I was like, oh, the power's out. I posted in my neighborhood Facebook group. Anyone else have their power out? It was because I didn't pay.
Wait, they didn't like call you?
They sent me a letter. They're like, notice if you don't.
No, they have to call you.
Here's what I do. I check my mail. I throw it in my room. And I don't look at it for like a month.
Yeah, same. Mine always calls
and
me.
All my other bills are on auto pay. So for this one, I just kept forgetting. I called them. I was like, my power's out. Can you please turn it back on? I was like, I don't know why you don't have auto pay. Like, I really could use that. And it works for my other bills so well. And they were like, we do have auto pay. I had gone online and looked for it, and I couldn't easily find it, so I think I thought it just didn't exist. So anyway, embarrassing myself here to say, do auto
pay. Kat, it's okay. I have
so
gotten them.
Oh my
We're
gosh.
Gonna turn off your power if you don't pay soon. But I wasn't even that late, so I was like, that's a little much.
It's embarrassing.
It's a little dramatic, but yeah.
Okay, my next one. I wish I had known this as soon as I was old enough to comprehend it. I don't know what age that would be, but as the second I hit that, I wish I'd known this. I wrote it like I'm talking to myself. So learn everything you can about attachment theory and the fact that you're a fearful avoidant. This will answer so many of your questions about why you act the way you do and why you're attracted to the people you're attracted to. Ooh. This will also show you where you have some huge wounds to be healed.
Oh, I love it.
Wish I'd.
I feel like you're like reading a scroll.
I love a story.
It's like you found a message in a bottle. Future. From the future. When did we find? What year was that?
2019. Well, no. Actually, this is not true. I actually did learn about this in college when I was like 17 or 18.
Oh, in psychology?
Yeah.
In social psychology? One of the psychology classes, like intro? I don't know. I learned in college and I was like, oh, interesting. Sounds... Yeah, when I learned about them when I was just disorganized, I was like, oh, wow, that sounds rough for them. Sucks for them. I literally did not identify with it at all. So, interesting.
My next one is, this also relates to my first one. Done is better than perfect. Anything worth doing is worth doing badly.
True.
Let me say that again. Anything worth doing. No, listen.
That one hits me.
It's worth doing badly. This is a trick for your perfectionist mind.
Oh, I love
it.
You're
putting it off for weeks on end because you think You can't do it unless you have a million hours and all the resources and all the motivation in the world. So you need to trick yourself and just say, anything worth doing is doing badly. I'll just do it as well as I'm able today, whatever. And if it's not good enough, I'll just do it again, whatever. Or I'll fix it.
Yeah, because you can also redo it and fix it.
And 9 out of 10 times, you are going to do it and it's actually going to be right and it's going to be fine. And it's way easier than you think. And you're just tricking yourself. I did this with cleaning. I'll give you the best example. Mopping. Oh, I hate mopping. It is the one chore that I just put off.
It's like a workout.
It's so grueling. And I literally embarrassed. I put it off for months. Months and months. Oh, just mopping. Months. And
years.
But listen.
Years.
This is what I learned in my cleaning routine. If you just power mop the most... Thank you, Fly Lady. You have literally given me my life back. If you power mop your house once a week in the most...
what do you use power for mopping?
It's just, listen, you set your timer for 10 minutes, you grab your mop, and you just run race around like a mad woman. The most, like, highly trafficked areas of your house.
Wait, yeah, make a video, please.
You gotta do a
video.
I
want to
do a daily
TikTok about it. I would die.
And it's part of the weekly home blessing.
I love the weekly home blessing.
But anyway, you power mop your house for 10 minutes. I mop my house every week now for 6 weeks.
Wait, question.
I could never get myself
what
to do
mop
it.
And thing do you use?
I hate my mop.
If this was your Instagram story, hey guys, time for my weekly home blessing, power mop with me.
No,
that would be entertaining.
Guys, watch people's videos who do the flower routine all the time.
Be one of them.
Yeah, but we want to see frantic. We want to see you. That's what we want to see.
I will film it. I want to film it.
We
don't want to
see all these perfect, we want to see you, whatever cleaning ones. We want to see frantic running. Okay.
Yeah.
This is what we want.
It is. Because then
we
want to
see real life.
I put the twins in the playpen for 10 minutes and they're like, and I put on like Blue's Clues for them and I'm like power mopping and they're like, let me out of here. So it's kind of chaotic.
Beth, I'll stand on your counter.
I have to say that made me think of one. I just wrote it down that I'm actually going to say next because that definitely made me think of a good
okay,
one.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Continue
yeah,
on.
Just tell yourself it doesn't, like, I don't know why, but for me, just telling myself, give yourself permission to do it badly. Just say that and it'll get you out of your weird perfectionist thing that's making you not do it at all. Because here's the cold, hard truth. You're not doing it. And literally not doing it
you're
is
so
definitely
right.
worse
you're
than doing
so
it
right.
poorly. Or like literally frantically mopping like part of your house. That's
you know
way
what?
Better than not doing it at all.
My new saying is perfect is the enemy of happy.
Yeah.
Perfect to me is the enemy of happy. Sorry. Yes.
Oh, okay.
It no, is no, the no. enemy of happy. I'm sorry.
Love it.
Okay. My next one is... It's okay if people think you're dumb or a bad person.
That's so hard.
Ooh,
that's so
hard
real.
One. That is like
because
the hardest
one.
That's humility.
Rebranded as someone that's allowed to be seen as dumb or a bad person.
Ugh, love yeah. a rebrand.
I felt so much freedom. Of like, I don't have to say everything perfect or be someone that knows everything or is the best person in the world. Like, it's okay if I say something and it's wrong. People are like, that was wrong. I'm like, yeah.
You
yeah.
can be wrong.
Yeah. It was wrong.
Ooh, I was
or like, why'd you do that? Oof. That was bad. I'm like, yeah. I don't know.
I have to say.
It. It was bad. Or even being misunderstood of like, it wasn't actually wrong, but you think that. I don't need to explain why I'm not a bad person. Because also, is anyone really thinking you're a bad person all the time?
Probably not. Probably
but it's
not.
Like, that's what you tell yourself. Well, why I tell myself they think I'm a bad person. It's like, they can think I'm not that good.
That's such a freedom.
It's okay.
Wow.
That's cool. Hard.
I need
especially
that one.
On being on the internet. I have to say, yes. When I was a child, I literally couldn't say the words, I was wrong. I literally couldn't say it when I was a kid. I was like,
You know what? I have a hard time saying that.
Now I can I say it freely. It's freeing, but I could not say it as a child.
Yes, it's freeing to be like, I'm allowed to be seen as dumb.
Yes.
Woo! I'm allowed to be seen as a bad person. Doesn't mean I am one.
Woo! Oh, like when I intentionally leave a typo in Instagram story because I got to push myself to grow.
Yeah, me too. I always got to push.
I don't know about that, but it's like...
I'm like, they're going to think it's kind of dumb. And I'm like,
that's an exercise
go.
For
they
her.
Can think that.
I love that.
You got to let it go.
I love it.
All right, what you got?
Mine is not every decision is a moral decision. Here's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
That is great.
I talked about this, I think, last week. I get so caught up in being a quote, or maybe 2 weeks ago, like every decision being either just so black and white, good or bad. But in life, the truth is that a lot of decisions... life is
amoral?
Very nuanced, okay? So there's a lot of decisions like what I should eat today, or how I like in dating in a lot of ways, or like different things where it's like, oh, it's not necessarily a, like making me a good or a bad person is what I was thinking. Like, oh, if I do this, it makes me a bad person. If I do this, it makes me a good person or whatever. Like, there's not a lot of things in life that are super actual moral decisions. It's more like you need to live your life making your decisions with your morals. But it's not like, oh, it's either this or that. It's like, oh, there's there's nuance in life. So like, I'm gonna make the best decisions I can with my moral compass, which I know is pretty solid because all it does is yell at me all day to do the right thing. So I'm just gonna make my decisions and go with God.
Love
and
it.
That's the vibe here.
Okay, this is the one Kath made me think of, which is you need a bunch of mental tricks to get around the prison in your mind that you live in on a daily basis.
You know, so you taught me this, and it's true.
The first place I learned this was with songwriting, and we discussed this a lot. We had to make some tricks. I realized I had to play a trick on myself. And one of the tricks is just finish the song and we'll judge it when you finish it. So I have a trick and I will not judge what I wrote until the song's completely finished. Then I say you can fully judge it and completely change it. It works like a charm. It works so well. It's brilliant. There's a lot of other things, you know, like just do 10 minutes. I do that a lot of times. Just spend 10 minutes on this little trick there. One Kath was saying, sometimes you need tricks. Like, you don't want to eat, you know, your fruits, your vegetables, whatever. It's like, just add some strawberries in with the rest of the stuff. It doesn't have to be that bad. Just add some strawberries in. Just like, just do a little this, a little that, whatever. I just have to always say a little trick here and there. And otherwise, nothing will happen. And it happens in all sorts of categories of life.
That ties in with Amy's too, I feel like. It's like, I feel like when you're younger, and that's probably just something you don't know until you're older, is like that not everything is so life or death. Like your decisions, it's like we get paralyzed thinking like, I'm going to ruin my whole life if I do this one thing. And it's like, probably not. Maybe certain things, but most things, no.
Yeah. And there's redemption for all.
So learn the tricks that you need and start tricking yourself all the time, basically.
Yes.
I don't know if that counts as a trick, but it's like I always tell myself a different time to leave.
That's so real.
And I don't think of it in the moment. Like in the moment, I won't remember, which is good. So I'll say every time I'm planning what time I have to leave, I write down a time that's like 5 or 10 minutes earlier than I'm thinking. And then I don't remember that it was 5 or 10 minutes earlier, even though I know I'm doing that trick. And it works every time because I have all I'm thinking about is that one time. That's all I'm thinking about. So yeah, learn the tricks and trick yourself all day and it will be great.
I love it.
Okay, my next one is, we've talked about this and I think we've kind of all said this in different ways, but this is so true, especially for me as an eating disorder recovery person. It's not your body. It's something deeper. So if you're feeling like, so sad, I had a memory the other day of like something that's really common in eating disorders, trigger warning, if you have an eating disorder, is body checking, where you constantly are like touching different parts of your body. And I remember I would always sit in my car and feel my stomach touching my pants, like, oh, it feels like it's puffing out. Oh, like, this is bad. I can't let this happen. I got to get back in my exercise routine. I got to get my diet more tightened up. Like, it's just this thing where you're like, oh, something's wrong with my body because it changed. And I really realized that, like, It's not your body. It's something deeper. And until you get in touch with that deeper thing, you're just living in a hamster wheel in your mind. And you will never get off of it until you freaking like look in the mirror. It's not you looking at your body. It's you looking at your heart and your mind and your soul. So deeper healing awaits you.
I love that.
Just you got to get over that. It's not your body.
Okay. My next thing is, laying in bed won't make you feel better because I really thought this, and I think a lot of people think this. It's like, oh, well, I'm so drained. Like, I just need to lay down. Oh, well, I'm so anxious. I shouldn't go anywhere or do anything. I just need to lay down and like, I'll calm down eventually if I just lay down and watch TV, whatever. But I won't. Laying in bed makes all of my mental health issues worse, not better. And I always thought, oh, I'll feel better. I just need to lay down. I just need to be alone, lay down, be alone all the time. But it was actually making it worse. What I needed to do was actually get up, open the curtains, look into the sunlight, go outside, go for a walk, go like do something, live my life, do my coping skills. But laying in bed will not make you feel better.
That is so true.
It's a trick, especially in the morning. Oh, I'm so tired. If I just lay here and go on my phone. No.
See, that makes you feel worse. Your mind is trying to trick you with those things. That's why you got to have a trick to come right back, or else it's going to trick you. It literally will trick you to thinking that if you lay in bed for 3 hours, you're going to feel well rested after. I would thought you that won't. All the time.
Yes.
And then I have to drag myself out because it's 3 hours has passed and I have to go do something. And I'm like, I feel horrible. It tricks you though. And then you do it the next day. It's like, no, I promise this time you'll feel great.
You know, I think I have a trick, a mental trick for me to get out of bed in the morning. I say, because I'm like, oh, well, if I just get up right now instead of trying to go back to sleep, I'll be so tired. I'll be tired either way. Might as well get up because I'll feel better. I'll be tired either way. Sometimes I'm not even tired, but I'm like, well, that's a better option.
Okay.
I love it. My thing is, don't elect yourself anyone's girlfriend that didn't ask. There was no town meeting. There was no proposal. There was nothing. So why do you think you're someone's girlfriend when you are not? You are sadly mistaken. And you know, it's tempting. It's tempting. But you can't do it. You need to be seeing other people or just pretending like you are. Just like,
so who? What does that mean?
To yourself. Like, oh, I could look around. Like, don't delete any apps. Don't close yourself off to other people until there is a commitment.
Love it.
Like, you're not their girlfriend. I am so sorry. They're going to, nope. It's not real. So just don't do it.
Okay.
That reminds me of our situationships episode.
You should watch that one. So check real. That out. We did a really good episode on that. How to get over, how to actually move on from a situationship, and why is it so...
It was a very profound episode.
Why is it so hard? Yeah. Check it out.
I loved it.
Okay. Here's a topic we all expected. And my... What I wish I'd known is birth doesn't have to be the worst, most horrifying experience of your life. Hmm. And the things that you have learned about birth throughout life from society, the media, et cetera, at that time, me talking to my younger self, are horribly inaccurate, harmful, and damaging.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I wish I hadn't spent like 30 years of my life just like being fed all this negativity around birth. When I think about birth, pregnancy, and motherhood, though, I think people always think if you're not being negative, then you need to be like almost like toxically positive. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, so you're saying it's just great and there's just nothing hard and nothing bad. There's no room for trauma. There's nothing like that. No, that is not what I'm saying. And I feel like that's all I got was either these people posting these like peaceful birth stories that were just so great and they just like got in there and they were just on their back, their epidural, and just like one push the baby's out. I've literally seen a bunch of those on YouTube. That is not how it happens for everyone. And then I've also seen the other side of everyone just being like how horrifyingly bad it is. And in reality, I wish I had known that there's this whole world out there of people who are there to educate you and they know so much about birth. They've met so many, they've worked with a met, whatever, experienced so many different things and met so many women. And there's so much information out there that is so empowering. And that for me, the best thing possible was to learn as much as I possibly could and to talk to all these people in this world who live, they literally just like live to empower women to give birth and to trust their body. And that there are doctors who believe in women trusting their bodies. What a concept. And I experienced them. I got to experience that with my last birth experience, that is out there. I don't think a lot of women actually even know that exists or even know that, yeah, another thing in this whole topic, another thing, informed consent, that is a real thing and that you do not lose all of your rights when you are pregnant. We think that we lose our rights and that whatever a doctor says is what we have to do. But in reality, they need to be telling you pros and cons, risks and benefits of every single thing they're suggesting, and that there are multiple options That is not what happens to most women, unfortunately. That's not what happened to me either. That's not what happened to a bunch of people that I know. A doctor will come in and say, this is what you need to do, or this is what we're doing. And they won't tell you why exactly or what the alternatives are or what the risks are of what they're suggesting and what the benefits are of alternatives. Doesn't happen all the time. All the doctors, you know, they're all unique people. They don't all do the same thing. But that is way too common. So I wish I'd known that. You don't lose your rights when you become pregnant. You still need to give informed consent, and you cannot give informed consent if you are not informed. Unfortunately, you have to inform yourself going into it, and you need to ask your doctor questions about the things you have learned. One last thing. I hate it how people say there's a movement telling people to stop educating themselves. What? And it is so, they're like, don't educate yourself. You're not a doctor. No. That is wrong. That is so wrong. I get where people are coming from. They're saying, because then you're going to learn all this misinformation and the doctor knows everything right, you know everything wrong. That's not true. That is not true. That happens to some people, yes. But it is so illogical to say that that happens to everyone who learns something. I've learned so much, gone into my doctors and talked to them about, and by the way, multiple different doctors. I had high-risk doctor, and three different doctors during my pregnancy, and I talked to all of them about all sorts of stuff. I didn't have one instance where they were like, oh, that's wrong what you just told me. Not one instance where I brought up something, they're like, factually wrong. That didn't happen. I'm sure that happens to plenty of people, but what happens more often is that they have no facts to even talk about. You need to look up things to talk to your doctor about. So anyway, inform yourself, educate yourself, and maybe you get some things wrong, but at least bring it up to your doctor so you can discuss it. And my last statement is that you can trust your body, because your body tells you plenty of things that you could trust. So just know that you could trust your body. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
And moving on. So yeah, cool. Wish I'd known that. And that is my soapbox that I will be on forever.
I love it.
So you. Okay. Those are the most passionate ones.
Mine is not about birth, but it is about the human body.
Okay.
You don't have to earn rest. You deserve it simply because you're human.
Amen.
And you, by the way, need it.
Yeah.
You actually need it, and you can't really go out without it for too long before you absolutely crash, which is something I didn't learn either.
Yeah. Well, even things that aren't human, robots, you know, computers, vacuums, anything with an engine or not an engine or whatever, you have to plug it in. You have to recharge. You have to put gas in the tank. Like, nothing goes forever.
I thought you didn't need rest. I thought it was optional. I really did.
Nothing goes forever.
Yeah, you don't have to wait until you're on the brink of a mental collapse to take a moment and just breathe. Yeah.
When my therapist told me when I was 27, I think, that I looked and sounded and acted like her, like, patient or what do you call clients in their 40s who had a heart attack, then I was like, something's got to change.
That ain't right.
That's a lesson I wish I learned a long time ago.
I don't know why is that like an American culture thing? Like, why do we feel so, like, I feel like I've heard that from so many of my friends, especially women. I don't know. Maybe men feel that too. I'm not, probably. It's hard to say. But like, just that you have to always be productive and you can't rest. And if you're resting, you're lazy. That's not true. And actually, the rest energizes you to do good work. Not that that's the reason you should rest. You should rest because you deserve it. You're human.
But it's just a benefit.
Yeah, it's just a benefit.
Okay. Cleaning is not that deep.
What is this?
Because
mean?
I would be like, oh my gosh, I'm so messy. I have all these dishes in my room. Oh my gosh. And I was talking to my therapist about that like a few years ago. She's like, do you actually care about having a clean room all the time? And I was like, no. Like, I like it to be clean, but I'm not like, you know, some people are like, I need it to be clean all the time where it really like ruins my whole life
like
or whatever.
That. I need it to be
at least. I was just like, yeah, I don't need to like shame myself for not caring about cleaning as much as other people do.
Mm-hmm.
I can just clean because it's nice to have a clean space. But it's just not that deep. Like, it's not like, I don't know. I feel like I used to be like embarrassed about that of like, oh, I don't do my laundry and there's dishes everywhere. I'm like, it's okay. That's just where I'm at. And it's fine.
And I feel like that also ties back to Amy's, that that's one of those things you need to file under not a moral thing.
Exactly.
Cleaning is not moral. And it's I used to think it was.
It's really cut the shame.
Yeah.
There's no shame in cleaning or not.
Cleaning food, not moral.
It's just your own choice of how you want to live, and you don't need to shame yourself about it.
Yeah, and in the words of Casey Davis, the brilliant woman who is just redefining cleaning for people, she was the first person to tell me that cleaning, not that she told me, but you know.
She told you.
Her TED Talk told me, which is a great TED Talk, how to do laundry when you're depressed. That yes. She I still says need to watch it. I read her book too. Your space is supposed to function for you. You're not supposed to just do all the stuff to make your house a certain way. It's like, is it functional for you? Okay, good. That's great.
That's so real. I never even thought of that. You can't soften the blow by emotionally pre-gaming. You just can't.
Okay, listen.
You cannot make a traumatic or something you think is going to be traumatic or hard to handle event better by trying to grieve it beforehand. Nothing's going to make it better. Like, you're not going to get there and be like, wow, this horrible event that happened, I'm so glad I spent so much time worrying and trying to make it less painful. No, it's just going to be as painful as it is. Nothing's going to soften it. It's just you need to express that you're scared. You can't express it beforehand.
You know, that's like a lyric I wrote in a breakup song. You can try to prepare for the rain, but you're still in the water getting drenched just the same.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Lover. You know that song.
That's a good one.
Right? Isn't that good?
Yeah, it's so true, though. It's like that thing.
It is.
It's like it won't make it better. You just need to express a different thing, which is fear, not sadness.
So true.
Okay, here's a really short, easy one, which is learn about your pelvic floor and see a pelvic floor therapist immediately. I don't care how old you are because you've had pelvic floor problems for a long time. And you didn't know because nobody knows, unfortunately. Wish I'd known that.
You know, I feel like I did see some TikToks about pelvic floor things. So maybe you're getting into my phone.
That would have helped me so much. Oh my gosh, would have helped me so much. Anyway, moving on next.
Yeah, okay. Maybe just take a look-see and see if you may have some.
Just look it up. Look up symptoms of pelvic floor issues. And if you have any of them, go see a pelvic floor physical therapist immediately.
It's so nice to know that you can solve them.
Yes, it's amazing. I would have changed so much about the way I lived, and it would have changed my pregnancies and my birth. Anyway, go.
Okay, this one is very cliche, but it's just so true. People are not thinking about you as much as you think they are. And I really want to give a shout out to all the fellow paranoid people out there that are just literally thinking that every person is interpreting everything you say as bad, and you're so afraid. It kind of goes back to Lauren's, honestly, of like, being afraid of like, oh, I don't want to say the wrong thing. What if this person took it wrong? It's like, I just know from awkwardly being like, oh, did that thing I say? Blah, blah, blah. Or like, oh, I didn't get to say bye before I left. Like, I hope I didn't hurt your feelings. Like, they don't care. They really don't care. And it's not that big of a deal. And you're literally making yourself so worried that it's just, no, it's a waste of time.
Okay, but I have something really bad. No. I hate to tell all the paranoid people, but I might be thinking about you as much as you think I am.
What?
I just might actually.
But you're not sitting there thinking like,
I don't know, but I do.
You have two children.
As Amy said, I love to analyze.
But you're not sitting there thinking, oh, wow, she said that thing.
I just notice a lot and I think a lot and I'm like, this is really a lot. So,
but are you lying awake being like,
I don't know. Sometimes things pop into my head. I'm like, they did that thing. So I'm sorry, but I might be, but probably most people aren't. But I just like to analyze a lot of people's behavior.
Listen, do not.
I keep it to myself.
Paranoid people, that's not normal.
But even though she's analyzing behavior, doesn't mean she thinks you're a bad, horrible person.
I keep it to myself. I don't tell anyone, but I just think about it. Anyway.
And that's okay.
I had to say it out loud.
She thinks about how you're a bad person.
No.
She doesn't think you're a bad person.
I think about.
I know.
I think about everything you're doing that I'm seeing, and I just think about, I wonder why you're doing that, and I just notice a bunch of little details. But I don't say it to anyone. I just think about it.
Okay. Cool. I don't think that's very
common. I just wanted to confess that.
Also, she has a very... ENTJ is a very unusual personality type.
So you won't find many of me.
Yeah, she is very
unusual.
She's
like, it's like a hyper-analytical type.
Yeah, so you won't find me around.
Okay. Most people are just doing their lives, and they're thinking about their own problems.
Most people are probably panicking about how other people are thinking about them.
I agree.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really the
tea. All of us paranoid people are out there. Just
We're all paranoiding about ourselves. So yeah, we don't have time to paranoid about anyone else.
Yeah. And let me just add a like subreddit to that.
Don't love a subreddit.
Just give, like, I know this is literally the hardest thing in the world. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Just do it. Just seriously, don't
It'll
think,
make your perspective
oh my gosh,
of people a lot
they
better.
Said that. I bet they were thinking this about me. Ugh, so bad. No, no, no. Stop, stop, stop. They didn't mean it in a bad way. You're overanalyzing it. They're probably a decent, good person, and they didn't mean it in the way you think. So just get over it. Like, just stop.
Get over it.
It's just so pointless and just waste so much energy.
Yes.
I have a policy now of like, if someone said something that I thought was offensive, just tell yourself that it's probably not what you think. You're probably thinking of it in the wrong way. They probably didn't mean that way. Just move on.
And if it was that offensive, you can say that.
And you can say
them.
Something. Yeah.
He's like, did you mean it like this when you said that?
Yeah, just say that. Although sometimes I'm afraid that if I say that every time, I'm going to sound like a very paranoid person. So
but
I
that's
just,
okay because you're a human being, not a robot.
Well, and eventually you probably get the sense of someone if you ask them that many times that, oh, they did.
You get the idea.
Yeah,
you get the idea.
All right, you.
Okay. You can't have any real relationships with anyone until you start saying your real thoughts and feelings.
You're so right.
And it's better.
Gosh, that is way too
so
real.
So much better.
That is way too real. So many people are not doing that, and they literally are, like, in marriages where it's not.
Well, yeah, and, like, I don't know, just thinking back to, like, friendships and, like, dating and everything, it's just, like, I wasn't really that close with people because I just was keeping so much to myself. I wasn't really like being a real person. Now I actually can be close with people.
Is this part of the human
rebrand? And it's way better.
Yeah. I love
Even
it.
Just
I
when
love
someone
a human
says
rebrand.
Like, oh yeah, I saw this thing recently. I loved it. And you saw it and you hated it. It's so vulnerable, but it's so good. Just be like, oh, I didn't really like it.
Yeah,
it takes so much to be like, I don't agree. I've done that, and I'm like,
that
gonna think
actually,
I'm hating on him.
I've been able to do that.
Oh,
since
it's hard.
Birth, TBH, but more like random things. Like, oh, let me bring up something that you didn't bring up first. Actually, like, let me bring up my own topic of what I want to talk about instead of just only what you want to talk about. Yeah. Let me
you
bring up how my day was and how I'm feeling. Like. Being a, like, instead of, like, speak when spoken to, like, oh, I actually am equal partner in this.
I feel that. You can rebrand at any point.
Oh,
you can just rebrand.
That's a good one.
My current rebrand is human, not poorly done imitation of a robot.
Oh,
that is my current brand. My current brand says things, does things she wants to do. Like, lives a human life that is not perfectly functioning because she's not a robot. Actually, imperfect function is part of the design. So that is the rebrand, guys. So if you want to rebrand as a human, you can do it any day. Any day.
Love it. Okay, we're going to do one last round. This will be like more of a lightning round. All right, so I'll just read mine. I won't really elaborate on much. Okay, last thing I wish I'd known. When you have your worst anxiety attacks or mental breakdowns and you can't figure out why and you're like, there's not a big, huge, bad thing happening right now. It's 9 out of 10 times not because there's a big thing happening to you. It's because there are several small or medium things happening at once. And you don't know. You're not thinking that they're that bad that they would warrant that level of an anxiety attack. But it's because there are so many of them at once. If you can look at each of them individually, you will feel 10 million times better. But until then, if you just keep going, oh, I can't think of what the big thing is every second of the day, you're just going to feel worse and worse and worse.
It's simple math. 10
once
ones
I learned,
is
exactly,
a 10.
Once I learned that, it definitely changed my life.
10 ones is a 10.
This is really not deep compared to my other ones, but
it's okay, Kat.
Give those foods you don't like another chance.
I love it.
Like, I actually started doing that, I don't know, subconsciously, like a couple of years ago. Well, it was probably like a year ago. It wasn't that long ago. And I was like, oh, it's actually not that bad. I don't know why I was like so against this food. And I'm just trying to be really adventurous. I keep eating bell peppers.
Yes,
really like
I love a bell.
I'm just trying to make
red bell
like
peppers
them.
Have more vitamin C than strawberries.
Well,
they're super good for you.
I feel like I like a lot of it.
There's only one food that will never get a chance.
Mayonnaise.
And it's mayonnaise.
Ew.
Anyway, continue.
See, but I've been trying things with mayonnaise, and I'm like, if it's just a little bit, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe it's not that bad.
If it's cooked.
Nope. Not cooked. Okay.
You don't need to argue every time you disagree with someone.
Ooh, that is Lauren. That's too that is far. What I really needed that a lot.
Not earlier. That I choose did your that with random people, but like close oh people. Like you just don't need to like prove why you have a different opinion or why you're right. It's just way better to be like, okay.
I know.
That's what cool. you think.
Wait, I would like to add to that that also a different thing is that you could take a different, this is to me. You could take a different approach and you could even have like a fun, there's even like a fun argument and there's also like a really calm discussion and there's also like a zero discussion. It's not just like completely out of control or like nothing. I would like to tell myself that and that calm discussions can actually be really fun and also just like fun ones can also be good. So yeah, just saying that. Anyway, next.
Oh, am I the last one? Okay, this is a 2-in-1. Your emotions ain't gonna kill you. You're just gonna cry about it and be fine. And there's not one emotion that a processing walk can't solve. You just think about it and you walk and then it's solved, kind of.
Okay, that was fun. We should do another thing like that where it's like a list of things. I feel like we could do a lot of like things I wish I'd known about blank.
Yeah, I love a good list. Yeah. Lists are so fun.
If you guys want to leave some comments about what kind of lists do you think we should do that about things we wish we'd known when we were younger, like about dating, about career. Oh, that could be interesting. About whatever. Like, let us know what you think. Yeah. Okay, so now let's do our 5 perspectives. This is where we each have our perspective on a topic. And the topic today is, what is your most used emoji? Number one used.
How do you know what you your don't most
know
used that. One?
You just know recents. Yeah. I feel like if I look at the recent
you just like used. The think about what you have
I'm
used
I'm not
the
a
most.
Huge emoji well.
Okay. I know what mine is.
I will say a new one that I've been using a lot is the one that's like this. Like the hand covering blush.
Yeah, back a long time ago, that'd be me. So,
oh, hard hands. That's me. Oh, the hard hands. I love hard hands. All the time, but all usually in a facetious manner.
At this current stage, it's a tie between two, and all it is either crying or this.
Yeah.
Only classic. Use an emoji when I'm going, to emphasize how much I'm going, because I feel like it's hard to get that through with words. That's what I need.
Mine is the crying one, too.
I love it.
Like, I feel happened. Like it's so universal. Yeah, yeah. It can apply to so many different things.
I love it.
I just need to show that I'm going, So
I'm glad you showed.
I'm glad to show it.
I love emojis. All right. Call me a millennial. I love them.
No, I love
hey,
them, too.
Millennial.
I feel like a lot of Gen Zs don't use emojis.
Yeah. I saw TikTok, and it was millennials versus Gen Zs, and I was like, I'm neither. And I was like, what am I? I'm divergent. I'm classy millennial. That's what I am. I'm not classy gosh. Gen Z. I'm classy millennial. That's the T here. I'm scared of Google. I can't be a Gen Z.
I realized how much millennial slang I use all the time without realizing like that it is. Like, for real is such a millennial thing.
Yes,
for instance, for there's real. Tons of things I say there. I'm like, oh, that's so millennial. Yeah.
People say FR all the time, Gen Z.
I don't say FR, real. But I'm it's saying for real. For real or reels, for reals, in real life.
For reals is
in
so
real
millennial.
Life, I'm saying that, and that is millennial.
Okay.
But I can't think of all the other ones. I just realized as I'm saying them, maybe we should do like something about that. Like
we
TikTok.
Should.
But yeah,
I
there's
feel
a lot.
Really old when I say awesome.
Oh.
I feel like yeah. Gen Z
awesome.
Is such a millennial
awesome.
Thing. Oh,
I
don't time.
Really say
so. Awesome. Yeah, awesome
oh,
is.
That's so awesome. Awesome is like corporate to me. I'm like, awesome, thanks.
I say that all
corporate.
The time.
Corporate.
Oh, I was shook.
Yeah.
No, I don't like I think of our little brothers. They're not saying I was
my wig
shook.
Flew. I still use that all the time. Max literally said to me the other day, did your wig fly?
I love it.
Anyway, let's go to Sister Spotlight. So each week we put the spotlight on a different sister. We have Get Real with Christina, Sappy or Sassy Thoughts with Kath?
Yeah.
Yes, Kath.
Sappy thoughts with
Kath.
Kath.
Okay, I'm sorry, guys. Lisa's Core Name's Current Crisis and Lauren's Take. This week, the sister is... me! Oh, Get Real Christina. All right, so I'm just going to do one of the things that was on my list. I realized I'm just going to make that the thing that I didn't say. So,
I love it.
My Get Real Christina this week is... This was me to my younger self. Okay, besides becoming the person God intended you to be and following God's will, your top priority needs to be your mental and emotional health. The way that everyone's like, exercise daily. Everyone always says that, right? Exercise regularly. Maybe they don't say daily, but regularly. You need to exercise regularly. Everyone says that all the time, right?
Yeah.
But you need to be taking care of your mental and emotional health daily, the way that you would prioritize the fact that you like pay for a gym or you go to an exercise class or you are planning into your schedule an hour and a half sometimes. I don't know, however long people work out for. You need to prioritize your mental health the way that you prioritize exercise or whatever your other daily things are. You know, your hygiene. It's a part of that. It's like you brush your teeth, like you do things, certain things daily. And unfortunately, taking care of mental health has just not been one of those things. I think because we don't know what to do. We don't have this easy checklist. Like you get this checklist. It's like take a shower, brush your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face, moisturize, exercise, blah, blah, blah. We have this list and that's like how to live basically. Mm-hmm. But it is missing how to take care of your mental health on a daily basis. In our last episode talking about the phone-free week situation, and we're talking about like processing your day. Like that should be like brushing your teeth. Mm. Like you need to process your day. It's like a shower. It's like you normally don't go more than a day or two without a shower, I would think. Right, Lauren?
Yes.
And yet we're like processing thoughts. I could go years. What? We do that all the time. Where it's like, oh, expressing anger, I could go decades. Crying,
so real.
I'll go 8 years. What?
I can't imagine going 8 days without crying.
Think of how many men will go years without shedding a tear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the poor babies. Oh, you know, so sad.
And sometimes, probably regularly, we need a good cry. We need to go, you know, I'm sad about this thing. Let me just sit here and have a normal human experience of crying because I'm sad about something. Nope, can't do that. Oh, I'm sad. Ignore. No crying for you. Push it down. Don't want to embarrass yourself. Don't want to look weak. You can't cry, blah, 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 whatever. What? That's not it. Like, let me have a normal experience of thinking about something that I'm happy about and smiling. We do that all the time. But nope, can't think about something you're sad about and cry. What? Oh, something happened today. I was mad about it. Let's have a normal experience of, you know, talking about it and figuring out like why that made me mad and like what boundary was crossed or did I perceive was crossed or what's going on here. Nope, can't do that. Not allowed to get mad. Forget about it. Go watch a show. And then we're like, let me just do the other important things today, which are take a shower and brush my teeth. But nope. Expressing myself, taking care of myself mentally, you know, maybe seeing a therapist, maybe connecting with a friend, maybe reaching out, whatever. Not important. So I'm here to say, you know what could really change this? If we change this with our kids, if we teach our kids like, hey, as I'm teaching you the non-negotiable daily things that were taught to me, I got to teach them to you with some additions that are incredibly important. So by the way, your non-negotiables are blah, 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 blah. And plus these things, which I'm still figuring out what are they exactly? Because it's not easy. It's not easy to just ask someone like, hey, what are the daily things you need to do to be healthy mentally, emotionally, spiritually?
Mm.
If you ask someone, what are the daily things you should do to be like hygienic or to be healthy, like physically, people are going to say like, you know, some moderate exercise, whatever. Like everyone's probably going to say that. We all have that in our brains, right? Do we have it in our brains what to do? Nope. Emotional, mental, spiritual health. Nope, we don't. So I would like to propose to everyone watching that we figure out what those things are and then we pass them on to the future generations so we can stop only passing on showering. What about a mental shower?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Isn't that brainwashing?
What about an emotional toothbrushing?
I love it.
What about that? Too far? Okay, it's gone too far. All right, well, that's the end of that. Patrons, thank you so much for supporting us. Everyone on YouTube, if you have not become a patron yet, just saying, it is an incredible way to support us and support the podcast. It seriously means so much to us. We are so grateful to have this career and to be able to sit here and talk about things we wish we knew. And like, you guys are all going to watch. You're going to comment maybe. You're going to think about it in your own life. Like, it's such a blessing to be able to have this and do this. So it really means a lot to us that you are here at this point in our career. And also if you're a patron, that you are supporting us in that way. It means so much. It's $5 a month, patreon.com/Cimarelli, linked in the description. Check it out. Join it for a month. See if you like it. It's a great way to support us and we appreciate it so much. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
You've been listening to the Cimarelli podcast. Follow Cimarelli on Spotify and subscribe on YouTube. You can also find Cimarelli on Facebook and Instagram.